Good afternoon. Thank you for being here. My name is Richard Hector, and I'm with Health Services Advisory Group. I'm the healthcare researcher, and what that means is I get to look at the data. It's too loud. Okay, I get to look at the data a little more closely, and we can elaborate on that more at the end if anyone asks questions about it or in the Meet the Experts later on. I'm here to talk to you this evening about methods and advantages of combining your health outcome survey data and your organization's data to improve quality and performance. I guess it was the... Okay, thank you. So the goal is to demonstrate the advantages of linking HOS and Medicare Advantage data to identify quality and performance results that support improvements in health-related quality of life. So before I enter into this next slide, where I'm saying this can happen to you, the perspective of this presentation is from the point of view of an analyst, but many of the people here are managers and directors, so what I'll be talking about next, it could be from, instead of it happening to you, it's what you might direct your staff to do. So on a great Monday morning, after a wonderful weekend, as an analyst, you're at your desk, and you start a project that you had on the back burner. Your boss returns from a conference and is very excited about some results that were presented. Well, I see you identify with that part. And your boss wants to replicate the results with your in-house data. And here is the chart that your boss saw by Wang et al., who presented at a conference, and it's BMI, physical activity, and healthcare utilization costs among Medicare retirees. I want to take a moment to explain this slide because it's a very complicated slide to present in this setting, and I'll describe it also for the people who will be listening to this recorded presentation later on. The slide has on the horizontal axis three categories of BMI, and they're normal on the left with overweight in the middle, and obese and greater on the far right. The slide depicts, so that's BMI on the bottom. On the vertical axis, it's costs, total annual costs, and activity is captured within each category of BMI by three bars. A light bar for the least active, 0 times per week, dark bar on the most active, 4 or more times per week, and in the middle, 1 to 3 times per week with the in-between bar. And what we see is you go from the least active people, their annual costs are the highest, to the most active people, their annual costs are the lowest, and the people who are 1 to 3 times per week, their costs are in the middle. And it's a significant amount of money, from $13,000 if you're looking at the normal weight bar on the left, to $9,000 for the most active people and $11,000 for those in between. And what you see is for every category of BMI, the more active the retirees are, is the lower the annual costs. So you want to look at this with your in-house data. And this is what your in-house data might look like as an analyst, or this is what your analyst would see. You have your, on the upper table that you might see in an Excel spreadsheet, is the data from your in-house data. And we have the HIC number, we have the Social Security number and patient ID for William Shakespeare, who lives in Baltimore here, and for Ernest Hemingway, who also lives here in Baltimore, and their costs are $8,000 just about, and $12,000. But when you look at their HOS data that you could link on their HIC number, you see that you have on the purple column on the far right, you have their PCS that you met earlier on in one of the presentations where Sonia was saying that this is the outcome scores for the health outcome survey. PCS here stands for the physical component summary score. And from now on, I'll call it PCS. And it's a general health physical health measure. It goes from 0 on the low end to 100. And I want to emphasize that this data is simulated. So any William Shakespeare or Ernest Hemingway that happened to live in Brooklyn or Baltimore is by coincidence. So I have simulated here a health plan called Cardinal Health, and these are the costs for the health plan. It has 633 patients, and this is a typical histogram you would see when you begin looking at data about a health plan, where on the left, the histogram is the highest percentage, where most of the people have low costs, and as you move out to the right, a fewer people have higher and higher costs, where the cost goes from $8,000 at the average, with a minimum of $10 and a maximum of $70,000. And these are simulated costs, as I said. You may also want to look at the BMI of the that you can get from the HOS data. And you see that looking at our patients, these BMI, most people are about 27, has a BMI of 27, and most of them then are between normal weight and overweight, with a few people going out to the obese side. This is a very normal bell-shaped chart that's taken from this, the actual data from the HOS, and it's almost textbook classical bell-shaped chart. So after looking at the data, you decide, well, now I want to try to replicate the results. And we see in this chart where what I did here is on the horizontal axis, now we've take BMI from less than 18.5 to, which would be considered sort of underweight, to normal weight, 18.5 to 25, to overweight, 25 to 30, and obese, 30 and greater. And on the vertical axis, again, is the annual cost. It's simulated. When you look at the categories of BMI across the chart, again, the bright chart are the least active people. The bright bar, beg your pardon, are the least active people. The darkest bar are the most active people in quartiles of principal components summary score. What you see here also is there's no discernible pattern in cost and PCS, which is unlike what was found by the Wang group. And this is unlikely you will find this in your data, and here are the reasons. Now I'm doing another analysis, but what I'm looking for are measures that you will get in the HOS. We see on the horizontal axis, self-rated health, going from poor to excellent. And on the vertical axis, PCS, with the colors of the bar, again, depicting levels of physical activity. And what you see in the chart, the overall picture, as you go from poor self-rated health to excellent self-rated health, the PCS score increases. Then within category, starting from good, very good, and excellent, within category, as you increase BMI, the PCS score decreases. So overall, as their self-rated health gets better, people report the PCS scores reflects it. But by BMI, people have lower PCS scores, lower general physical health. Here I take another look at the data, and now I'm looking at comorbidity, again, by PCS score and self-rated health. Now what we're seeing is going differently. Comorbidities decrease as people rate their self-rated health increases from poor to excellent. But when you look within category again, you're seeing from as you go from the low BMI to high BMI, comorbidity increases, which is it makes clinical sense. So you're seeing, as you're looking at these charts, a relationship between comorbidity and the PCS. So here, I'm taking the same two charts again and putting them on one slide. And you see they're moving in opposite directions in the overall structure. And within each category, again, you see the increase and the decrease depending on whether you're looking at comorbidity or PCS. You can go one step further and say, let's pull out the relationship between comorbidity and PCS. And here's what we do in this chart, where we're looking at the quartiles of PCS with comorbidity on the vertical axis and BMI on the horizontal axis. And just as it was suggested in the previous two slides, now it's made explicit that as you go from low activity to high activity, the number of comorbidities decreases, is associated with fewer comorbidities, and it's a consistent result across levels of BMI. I want to come back to talk and an overview of this slide later on, but let's continue. So now let's talk about how you can do this with your HOS data, and here are the advantages of using your HOS data. Your HOS data has a unique identifier by which you can link your in-house data, the HIC number. The outcomes are calculated. The PCS and the MCS are already calculated for you. The well-being items in the chart, like the two we just mentioned, they are validated. And here are some others that are mentioned, and it was mentioned in the earlier presentation. You can look at the PCS, the MCS, healthy days, general health, chronic diseases, and the HEDIS measures like the urinary incontinence and so on. More advantages. The survey uses trained interviewers. They have an established sampling protocol. It can be generalized to the population of your plan. This codes for your plan. You can check results against other states, for instance, using the public use files. And in collaboration with persons outside of your organization, you can talk about issues with the HOS data without jeopardizing confidentiality or business practices within your plan, because people can learn about it. It's publicly available, the knowledge on the HOS data. And it has a large sample size, so you can cut and slice your data in many, many ways when you're comparing it with the public use files. So I want to just quickly reiterate the HOS timeline that Sonia Bowen did earlier. And it's an annual baseline sample with a two-year follow-up of the baseline. In year one, January through March, the survey is prepared, and the interviewers and the sample is selected. In April through July, the survey is fielded and for the baseline and follow-up cohorts. In August through December, the data is cleaned, validated, and scored. In year two, in January, we do data management and analysis. In April through August, we prepare, disseminate data files, reports, and the data users' guides. And April and August are in different colors to emphasize that from fielding the data to preparing and disseminating the data, it's just 17 months inclusive. So I want to stop now, and Dr. Clancy this morning spent a lot of time talking about why people do not want to do quality improvement. And this is what I want to talk about was taken from the general literature on the hindrances to quality improvement. Boat et al. Produced in February JAMA reasons they found that people didn't want to participate in quality improvement. They found some of the things they heard were people were too busy to do anything more. They couldn't afford it. They had a different approach already in place. They're already in the top quartile or top 10%. That would be unlike the people that Jennifer would come see. They need more and better people. And they do not get paid for quality. And Dr. Clancy would beg to differ with that. Other reasons that they found were quality improvement ideas cannot be applied to medicine because patients are heterogeneous. Medical care is relational work requiring reflective professional practice. There's a lack of knowledge about how to make system changes in the system. The medical center is a teaching hospital. The medical center is not a teaching hospital. And the reasons we have been hearing is that when we work with our partners is that the data are outdated. And we would counter that without a change in the process, your beneficiaries would experience similar outcomes at the same place when they enter your plan. Also, the period from interview to dissemination is just, it's too long. That's why it's being outdated. Well, this long period encourages you to focus on the process rather than variation due to special causes like something that came up in the newspaper or a call from a senator. And if you did the survey in-house, you would have a similar duration, but you won't have the advantages of using the HOS data. What else have we heard? We say that your beneficiaries are sicker or different than the patients in the survey. So we would say if you link it to your in-house data, then you would be customizing it to your beneficiaries. You can easily link it. There are issues that we also have to consider with providers. Providers witness the bad effect of processes. But on the other hand, beneficial effects of processes become part of the background of the practice. And providers are scientifically trained, so data-driven processes will have credibility with providers, so you can get the changes you want enacted more easily. I want to summarize quickly. The HOS is a rich data set. It can be used to show how quality and performance of care affect health-related quality of life of patients enrolled in your organization. The HOS data files are available to any researcher through de-identified public use files. However, when you link it to your in-house data, they can be a valuable resource, and you can measure not only the effect of quality and performance on quality of life, but you can also use it to determine the effect on your expenditures, as the very first paper by Wang showed. And since the patients interviewed are a representative sample, the policies that you use to improve quality and performance, when they can be evaluated knowing that they affect all the patients in your plan. So I want to mention that we at the Health Services Advisory Group, we are available for technical queries at the information here. And if you have queries about this presentation or other ways that you may want ideas on how you may use your data, you can contact me at this number here. So thank you very much.